salvations kind of simultaneously. There's the eternal one, where it's like you're justified before the Father. And that's when you come before God, you repent of your sins, you say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, rose again 3 days later, and all this, and you receive the Holy Spirit if your heart's in, you know, that place. And then I believe there's a secondary salvation where you're saved from the sins in this world. Over the Holy Spirit starts prompting you to get rid of things and shows you things to.
Well, you're talking about sanctification.
Yeah, sanctification.
Yeah, so it's not really like two salvations. It's you have the hope of salvation to come, and He's sanctifying you along that path. And the Bible commands us 30 times in the New Testament to be perfect. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And that word perfect, everybody stumbles over that. It doesn't mean, oh, preacher, you think you never sin? No, never said that. The word perfect, that's where you look up the Greek and the Hebrew. The word perfect means fully mature. So I have a question. If you're a mature Christian and complete, fully mature and complete, if you're a mature, complete Christian following Jesus, do you want to sin? No. Do you live in sin?
No.
Do you want to do willful sin?
No.
What do you want to do? Flee from that. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's having. It's like saying, if I love my wife, you would say to me, do you want to go lay with a bunch of other women? And I go, no, that's not what I want. If any man says he wants that, he's not faithful to his wife.
Oh, okay.
See? So in the spirit sense, the Spirit has you doing everything that's righteous and true and good. That's the path you're on. Yeah. God's called you out, and so He's going to continue to sanctify you. But that doesn't mean that your salvation is secured no matter how you live. You must live according to the covenant. Here's a big one. Ready? Do you think God loves... Careful. Careful when you answer this.
Okay.
Do you think God loves unconditionally?
No.
Good. You know
that. Yeah, I know
that. There's a condition.
There's a condition.
And so you are living His condition. That's where your salvation is, your hope is. I'm going to live in the condition of God. These people that say, God loves you unconditionally. I said, what Bible verse anywhere says that? The old covenant had a condition. If you keep my commandments, you'll live. If you repent, I'll forgive you. If you walk in my ways, you'll be my people. Where does God ever say, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you no matter what? Doesn't say that anywhere. Now, God so loved the world, John 3:16. Past tense, 2,000 years ago, a one-time act. What's the one-time act you got to receive to get the love of God?
Jesus Christ, dying on the cross.
But did you notice a lot of people walk around like, I can do anything pretty much outside of Christ, and God loves me. Actually, go read Psalm 5:5. People hate when I bring this up. Psalm 5:5 says God hates the wicked.
Yeah, God is angry with the wicked every day.
Very good. And the reason, the word wicked means sinful. It's not Adolf Hitler who killed people. It's sinful.
Yeah.
If you live in willful sin and worldliness, you're wicked. God hates you.
Yeah.
When does the love of Christ come in?
When you turn
and you walk in His way. So I'm glad you... So knowing God's love isn't unconditional should help you understand that your salvation isn't a done deal because you still have conditions to live out.
So I guess I'm confused at what the condition, because like I still have it programmed in me that like I'm like sealed by the Holy Spirit no matter what.
It's a down payment. Nope, no Bible verse says that. See, they'll put the word guarantee in there. Doesn't say that anywhere. Go look at the Hebrew. It doesn't say, or Greek. It doesn't say guarantee.
What about Christ's sheep? Like Christ knows who's sheep. His sheep hear His voice.
Right.
Does that mean the sheep can go off and not be a sheep anymore?
Ready?
Kind of a thing?
Ready? Here you go. My sheep hear my voice.
Yep.
They follow me. None that the Father has given me will I lose.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So they say, that's what the eternal security people say. See? And I go, that's talking about Jesus. Do you think Jesus will ever just go, whoop, going to lose that one? No. Jesus is going to do His Father's will perfectly.
Yep.
But here's the big point. Ready? Do you think I'm a godly person? Just by what you've seen.
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know for sure that in 5 years from now, I'm still going to be the same godly man, striving for the kingdom, living in righteousness, loving my wife, loving my God, and walking in holiness? Do you know for sure in 5 years I'll be doing that?
No. Nope.
So you don't know who God's true sheep are until what?
Until after death.
until you've known me and you go, I knew that guy his whole life. He died last year. I never saw sin in him that was willful. He strove for the kingdom of God. He was a godly man. I believe he's a saint of God. Those are the people that Jesus is never going to lose. You, I just met you. You seem like a young man that wants the things of God.
Sure.
I don't know what you're going to go off and do. So I would never tell you, you're one of those that Jesus said. You know what I'm going to say to you?
Oh.
You know what I'm going to say to you? Jesus said, you know a tree by just whatever it says. What do you know a tree by?
By its fruit.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, go produce much fruit. And in the years to come, it will determine, are you one of those that he's never going to lose?
Oh, okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. What would you say to like a saved person that messes up?
Saved. So a person that's following Jesus, walking in the covenant.
And has the fruit. And has the fruit. Salvation.
All right, so they're not saved yet.
Yeah.
They have the hope of it.
That, let's say, gets tempted, falls into adultery once.
Right.
Can they, like, is that, like, on their mark forever then?
No.
Or is that, like...
You repent and you're cleansed.
And cleansed?
Here,
okay.
First All John. Right. Yeah, no.
Okay.
First John 1:7. Yeah, no. It's all about repentance. See, everything is about redemption. It's not that you can never be redeemed. It's got... Ready? I love to say this term, and a lot of people yell heretic when I say it, but no one can open the Bible and prove me wrong. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You must make yourself eligible for the grace of God. Think about it.
An acceptable sacrifice to the Lord is a broken spirit. So that's,
broken spirit, yeah. Humility, repentance,
yeah.
Obedience.
Yeah.
Solomon, the wisest man ever, said, this is the duty of man. Fear God.
Keep his
commandments. You know the word of God.
Yeah.
So that's how you make yourself eligible for the grace of God. Many of these people in America, they walk around with egotistical mindset. You know why? I get the grace of God no matter what. No matter what I do, I'm getting the grace of God. Do you see how arrogant that is? You must make yourself eligible. And you're doing that. You've come out of Lutheranism. Hopefully you're willing to come out of every false way in the world. Hopefully everything in your life you'll be willing to change. You're making yourself eligible for the hope of Jesus Christ. That's where the covenant comes in.
So would that be like, people would say that's like a works salvation.
Works are part of our salvation. Works are part. You can't work your way to heaven, but works are part of our salvation. Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way of eternal life. Ready? For who? All who obey him.
Christ makes the way of eternal life for all who obey him.
For all who obey him. That's what it says in Hebrews 5:9. Let me read John 1.
Okay.
1 through 7. Ready? Or John 1:7.
Okay.
First of all, it says in 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that would be sin and false doctrine. We lie and do not have the truth. So if we claim Jesus, but we walk in darkness and sin and false doctrine like the churchianity systems, we lie. We don't have the truth because Jesus is the truth. We're going to walk in the truth.
Okay.
Then verse 7, but if we walk in the light, Christ is the light. He's the word made flesh. The word of God is the truth. If we're walking in the truth,
right.
It says, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So do you see the prerequisite?
All right, I got to take this call.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. You got to walk in the light.
All right.
Can I help you, sir?
No, just listen.
Just listen? Can I give you a gospel card?
I've been saved before.
Oh, you're not saved once. You got to endure in it every single day. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, endure to the end.
Yeah,
Matthew 24. Endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved.
What's that mean, though?
What does that mean? It means walk in the faith, obey him, make yourself eligible for the grace of God.
Saved,
oh, no. Once saved, always saved is absolute heresy. I have articles that teach against that if you'd look them up. Biblical teachings. We're supposed to rightly divide the word of God. I take you to scripture.
So,
I proved to you that you can't just believe once saved, always saved.
Saved,
you're not saved once. It's continuous.
If you're saved,
it's an everyday process.
If you're saved, that means that God is true to his word, right?
God's word is true. You got to walk in salvation. You got to obey and follow Jesus to salvation.
When you accept him, he's more than enough.
No Bible verse says accept Jesus. Not one verse says accept Jesus. That's a man-made doctrine. Actually, God accepts us. This will help him too. Let me expose that for you. Not one Bible verse says accept Jesus. The Bible says God accepts us because of Jesus. He actually knows that's true. The accepting of Jesus is a man-made philosophy. The Bible calls you to face your sin and rebellion, repent, turn from your sin, turn to Jesus Christ and because of his shed blood. You can be born again by the Spirit of God if you're willing to obey God, and then you obey God in righteousness and holiness to eternal life. And I was just giving him the scripture verse, Hebrews 5:9. Christ made the way of eternal life for all who obey him. If you don't obey God in your life, in your word, in your ways, you're not of God. You're walking in the ways of the world and the flesh. Jesus died for his elect that will hear the gospel, will repent of their sin and place their trust in him and follow him out of the world. If you're not following Jesus and you're following the world, you're not his sheep.
See, Jesus never came for the Gentiles.
His mission on earth, he said, I came for the Jews. He actually did minister to Samaritans and others. Then he sent Paul to the Gentiles. So Jesus' word is actually...
What did Paul say?
What does he say about what?
Follow me as I follow Jesus.
Yeah, he said imitate. Yeah, imitate. A better translation is imitate. 1 Corinthians 11. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. So Paul was going to the Gentiles, and Paul said, come out of the world, don't conform, Romans 12. Don't conform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this idea of your saved ones, that salvation is like a get-out-of-hell card in your back pocket, this is a man-made doctrine. Jesus is our shepherd. Let me give you a good analogy. Jesus is our shepherd. We are all sheep. Sheep without a shepherd are doomed. Do you know why? This is beautiful. I love this. This kind of changed my whole theology. Sheep without a shepherd are lost. Let's go to Israel. In Israel, there's very few freshwater rivers or lakes. The shepherd protects them from wolves. I didn't even know this. They got wolves and bears in Israel. I learned all this. They got wolves and bears in Israel. I thought that was just around, you know, in other parts. The shepherd protects them from the wolves and the bears. So without following the shepherd, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm just kind of, I know, I believe in Jesus, my shepherd, but I'm going to follow my own thing. Whams, bears, wolves get you. You need to be close to the shepherd. Here's another beautiful thing. You're a sheep.
Well, what does
the shepherd
do?
I'm giving.
Does he guard against that?
You're a sheep.
No, but does he guard against that?
Doesn't. He guards against his sheep that follow him. But we learn of sheep that go and leave like the prodigal son. And he went away into sin. But let me finish my story about sheep.
What happened at the end of the prodigal son?
He repented and came back. But if he didn't repent, he would have been lost. He would have lost his soul. Because the Bible even says... The Bible even says in Luke, ready?
Because this, you don't think the Lord has the power to change you as you go along?
Well, you have your will. You got to bend your will to God. God will change you if you're born again by the Spirit. But if you're born again by God,
you already accepted him.
Accepting Jesus is not a biblical concept. You must repent and turn from your sin. You must repent and turn from your sin. What Bible verse says accept Jesus?
That when he says that, right?
What Bible verse says accept Jesus? Base it on the Word of God.
I don't have my book with me.
There isn't one. He confirmed he's never found it either. There's no verse that says accept Jesus. The Bible says God accepts us because of what Christ did.
I believe we're predestined. He knows it from the...
Well, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows who his sheep are, but you and I don't. You and I don't. I don't know if he's going to finish. I don't know if he's going to become one or finish. Right. But how we do it, we prove it by our fruit. I want to go back to the sheep. Another beautiful thing about sheep. In Israel, these are great parables. Sheep can't even water themselves without their shepherd. Maybe you know this already. There isn't freshwater lakes and rivers in very few places. The sheep have to rely on the shepherd for the living water. The shepherd goes and dips water way from a deep well, pours it in the sheep troughs. And I love it. I saw a video and the sheep all come up and they're drinking from the cold water. Without the shepherd, the sheep last like 2 days.
Right.
And they have to follow him and be in his flock. They can't go into the world and do their own ways like churchianity does in America, the American Christians do. Following Jesus is obeying him, keeping his commands. He said in John 15 and 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to be my friend, keep my commandments. If you do not abide in Jesus, John 15, he says, a man, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You must abide in me. What does that mean? Look up the Greek word. It means remain. You must remain in the word of God. And Jesus even says, if you don't remain in me, you'll be cut off and thrown in the fire. It gives you the evidence that you can be a branch of Jesus, go your own way in your sin or worldly churchianity ways, and your fruit is no longer biblical in Christ. He cuts you off. You don't get eternal life. You get thrown into the place of fire, and it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So once saved, always saved is a man-made doctrine. Accepting Jesus is a man-made doctrine. If you didn't wake up today...
What if it's a spirit doctrine in my life?
What if what?
It's a spirit doctrine in my life.
A spirit doctrine in your life. You're making up your own doctrines. The Bible warns...
Because, see, I used to be into just about everything.
Yeah.
And he slowly has removed...
Good.
All of it.
Keep going.
He is removed.
Keep, well, you got to remove it. No, you got to repent of it. You got to let go of it. You got to let go of it. If you're a homosexual, don't tell me God's going to magically remove it. You've got to say, Father, I know it's sin. I repent of it. And then he'll help you. It's your will working with his will. That's a covenant. And Jesus said, turn. The Bible says, choose this day whom you'll serve in Joshua. And it's echoed in the New Testament. So it is a battle of will. It's a battle against the God of this world, Satan. And if you didn't wake up today and say, Lord, I'm going to love you and obey you and walk in your word and ways more than anything today. If you didn't wake up with that desire, if you woke up and said, I'm going to Muskie Fest to get food and check things out and maybe I'll look at some women or something. I'm just going to go out there in the world. You're an idolater. I didn't say you did do that. I'm saying if you did that, you're an idolater because Jesus said, Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and Mark, I think it adds strength. That means
spirit.
Your entire focus is on the kingdom of God.
It says spirit.
It says heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if you're living for the world and you're of the world, James 4:4 says you're an enemy of God. No one will inherit the kingdom of God that lives like the world. So you have to repent and come out of the world, sir. You have to come out of every false way. You have to be, we were talking about it, sanctification. You have to be desiring to sanctify your life so that you can be a holy vessel. If you keep and live in willful sin, it's on your record. It's like holding a millstone. You're going to drown with it. Give it to Jesus. Forsake it. Whether it's smoking, porn, churchianity system that you know is false, the world system, NFL, Packers, football is carnal and worldly and covetous. If you don't surrender all of that, it's fruit that you're not born of God or... you're rebellious. Either one, you're going to be put outside of the kingdom. You know one lie is going to put you out of the kingdom? One lie. One lie. Revelation 22. If you love and practice a lie, it's going to put you out of the kingdom. God killed a couple. That's my wife. A husband and wife for one lie in Acts 5.
Yeah.
After the grace of God had come.
Yeah, they
fear.
They tried to sell their land for more than
one lie. One lie. So you should fear God and want to leave all sin, not make excuses for sin.
Oh, I don't.
Okay. So you would you take a gospel card and look up what I'm telling you is true,
sure.
And it'll bless you. Don'tperish.com for free. We don't charge money. Test everything I've said to the holy word of God. That's what this man is doing. And I met him out there. I don't have any truth. I don't have anything. I got nothing for you except the word of God that I've been preaching to you. And I want to encourage you to let go of this life. You're old like me. How old are you?
72.
Oh, wow. I hope I'm moving as good as you at 72. I'm only 60. You and I don't have much time left, but these younger men could die tomorrow. We must be living for the kingdom of God with all that we are.
That's why I know I'm saved, because he saved my life 7 times.
Well, we don't base our salvation on experience.
My heart was out of my body for 5 hours.
Yeah. You know what? If you truly were spared death by a miraculous thing, it's all the more reason you should be the most holy, obedient guy around because God spared you and you should be living for him with all zeal.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not the marker that you're born again, sir. I know people that have gotten miracles and they live like the devil. Aren't they? Are they saved?
I don't live like the devil.
But if you live of the world, you're in his kingdom. That's Satan's kingdom.
I guess I bought a new car the other day.
No, see, that's not, no. No, we're not talking about material things that you need. What if you went and bought a statue of Buddha? That's idolatry. What if you watch the Green Bay Packers and you love the violence and the covetousness and the frivolity and the foolishness and the carnality and the flesh of it? That's idolatry as well. Because that's time you could be spending serving God.
I hated Rodgers anyway.
Well, there you go. You're a football fan if you know about all that. So you must come out of the world, sir. You can't be of the world. You can't be like the world. You can't dress like the world, act like the world, live like the world, talk like the world, spend your money like the world, associate like the world. You know why? Show me one saint in the Bible that lived like the world. Name one. Consistently. I'm not talking about David sinned. Yep, he was a carnal man, sinned. He repented. He paid a great price. Show me one sin, or one saint, one great man of God in the Bible that lived like the world. Oh, I'm a great man of God, but I can be like those Romans.
Moses.
What did Moses do that was worldly after he was a believer?
He killed a guy.
That was before.
No.
Yeah. That was why he was an Egyptian before he realized who he was as a Hebrew.
And he lived out the world.
And first of all, I believe the story. Correct me if I'm wrong. The story was he self-defended someone.
No. He saw the Egyptian beating like a Hebrew, and he came up and killed
Samaritan, wasn't it?
Whatever.
Or something.
He defended someone. He didn't kill somebody in cold blood. Moses was a godly man. Good example. What one sin kept Moses out of the Holy Land? One sin. You say, street preacher, you too hard on sin. Really? I imitate God. One sin.
Didn't the Moses...
God says, because you did this, you won't go in the kingdom.
Yeah, he didn't go into the promised land.
Because of what?
Because of his unbelief.
Nope.
That God told him that it was chosen for him.
Nope. Ready? When you think the street preacher is too hard and I'm calling out dress and life and cultural ways and pagan holidays, God says to Moses, you won't go into the Holy Land. The most godly prophet at the time, and even after that in the Old Testament, most people lift up Moses. God told Moses, strike the rock twice. No, it's either twice or once and twice.
No, it was once.
Okay, God told him, strike the rock once to get water. Moses went boom, boom, and struck it twice.
Yeah.
And God said, you didn't obey me.
Aaron was supposed to be his right-hand man, and he was the one that built the calf.
Right, exactly. And Aaron went into sin. But do you know why God puts markers like that in there for us? And Ananias and Sapphira killed by one sin. Moses not going in. Leviticus 10, two priests killed for strange fire. God is showing us how serious sin is. All sin. God hates all sin. And I would go so far as to say any man or woman that says they're born of God and they don't hate all sin, including their own, in their own house, in their own body, and then what they see in the world, if you don't hate sin and you're not fighting against it, you don't love the truth. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
So if you hate sin, you'll root it out of your life. You won't live like the world any longer.
Yeah.
You'll become a Noah, separate, holy, different, set apart. How you live, act, talk, dress, everything. You'll study and you'll test. You'll become a Noah and you'll be a righteous man in your generation. And you'll be hated in this culture.
God, did you see that?
What was that?
That board had two straps hanging from the back end. Somebody's going to run over
though. Oh, I didn't see it. So does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sure.
So test yourself at that gospel, don'tperish.com, at that website. There's thousands of articles in there. It's God's truth, not mine. But look up Once Saved, Always Saved. I've got an article on accepting Jesus is not biblical on my teaching blog. You want God to accept you. And how you do that is you must, I just was telling him this, you must become eligible for the grace of God. Guess how you become eligible for the grace of God? You think anybody's going to get the grace of God just walking the world? Hey, Jesus died for my sins. I get the grace of God. Think anybody's going to get it?
I think he changes people.
Who is he going to give it to? The grace.
Biblically.
The gospel. Who places their faith in his shed blood. Who repents and comes out of their sin. Who's willing to obey him and be born again. Acts 5, he gives the spirit to those who obey him. Who is walking, following their shepherd, drinking from the living water, protected from false doctrine by that shepherd, not listening. Do you know it's sinful to listen to false teachers and false doctrine?
Oh, yeah.
It's sin against God. It's spiritual adultery. If I go with another woman, that's physical adultery. That's my wife. If I listen to false teachers, it's spiritual adultery. You must become eligible for the grace of God by walking in his ways and following Christ. And then it becomes a covenant where you're with him, he's with you.
So where's your congregation?
You're both striving. Where's my congregation?
Yeah.
I don't know of a congregation of people in a building that are fully biblical. I know a handful of saints around the world that we have fellowship and communication with. I travel full time. I'm always moving. If I knew one place in a building that someone was fully biblical, they'd come out of the world, they preach the sound gospel. Let me ask you this, if you think I'm crazy, young man, have you been able to find a biblical sound body of believers that are keeping sound doctrine?
No, not in this town.
Well, not in this town, not in the state. I've been all around the country. I've traveled America enough to go around the world 4 times in ministry, street preaching. I looked it up the other day. It's over 100,000 miles around America, street preaching. I can't tell you where there's a biblical body that has the sound gospel.
That's what's sad about this town.
Well, it's not just a town, but here's the thing. Don't look at them. You.
I'm here.
Hold on.
I'm not here to shoot you down.
Okay.
I'm here to listen.
Yeah, I understand. I didn't call you out. Him and I had a conversation yesterday.
Hey, but listen, you gave me scripture. The scripture is authority, is the foundation.
Yeah, I got nothing.
But you pointed out some scripture. You pointed out some errors in the doctrine, which I believe.
Yeah.
It's a false doctrine.
Right.
And I've gone to it. Actually, last night I was even talking to my wife about it. And I said, interesting. If I can move closer to the truth and see what God is actually saying by his scriptures, I'll believe it. I won't just buy man's traditions.
Nope. Got to go test to the word.
And that's what I
And then you got to repent of every false way.
That I do love you guys. I know that there's a lot of people that are very... Also, I commend your boldness, because that's the boldness that I want. And that book of Acts is very evangelistic.
And it never uses, I want to go there with you, and you, and we already covered this. The book of Acts, he brought it up. Yesterday, he kind of told me, bear with me, that maybe I'm preaching at people, not to them, and maybe try to be more loving. And I said to him, love is not what people think. Biblical love is not what people think. Today, if I was starting a church, and I wanted to be a modern pastor, people in the seminary and stuff would tell me, you know what? Have a free barbecue in the park. Have free coffee and donuts. What's your first name, sir?
Denny.
Invite Denny in for free fish fry and show him how much you like him. And then play shuffleboard or bowling or play the football game. And then you invite Denny to church and say, we're starting a church. And they appeal to your carnal flesh and feed you and do all kinds of nice things. The Bible doesn't do that. The Bible says, I love you by saying, sir, unless you're born of Jesus Christ, he shed his blood for you. Repent and come out of the world and the false church systems. You're going to lose your soul. What I just told you is godly love. The cookies, the ice cream, the football, that's fleshly love. I didn't really love you. I'm trying to get your favor to come to my building. See, this is a glorious thing about being a street preacher. Yeah, Element Church, Wade Bishop. I got a testing. Look it up. It's right on my website. He's a liar. He says he doesn't teach eternal security. It's right on his website. I put it on there. He's got Satan Halloween masks on for fun. He's putting on whirly car shows, playing. I walked by and the music said, all right, man, let's have some rock and roll. Do any of you guys know what rock and roll means?
Yes.
What's rock and roll?
Well, I mean, looking at it from a carnal... Rock and roll, the devil. I mean, as far as...
What does the term rock and roll mean? Do you even know?
No.
Oh, it's an old term. Maybe you know. Do you know what rock and roll originally meant? Rock with the music. Roll, have sex.
Oh.
Rock and roll was music and fornication.
Oh, right.
And we got pastors playing rock and roll music, fornication, worldly cars. The love of God calls you, all of us, out of our sin. And if any of you men see sin and false doctrine in me... If you don't spend time to call me out of it and love me to rebuke me, you don't love me. Buy me a pizza. Buy me a new car. Give me a $1,000 bill. You don't love me eternally. So I love people eternally. And I was going to say, the great thing about being a street preacher that is self-funded, I don't need your money. I fund myself, sold everything we own to go do this. Guess what? I'm not beholden to anybody. I can preach the unadulterated word of God.
Well, that's why I told the guy that was running the thing. I says, hey.
Wade Bishop.
Let him say what he has to say. I mean, this is...
2 years ago, I was here, and he tried to run me out of there. 2 years ago. He wants to put on raffles and all kinds of fun. He's not preaching the gospel. The street preacher comes through to preach the gospel, and he said, you can't be doing it here. And I said, why can't I? Well, it's a car show. I said, it's on a public sidewalk.
I'm 100% disabled now.
Yeah.
And nobody believes in freedom of speech.